M3500 Tradesman ST regular cab dually when properly equipped. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. 25-cent charge for each mile over 22,500. Requires dealer contribution, at least through Chrysler Capital. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 1-6.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at The Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next few hours, they're going to be the views of Michael Campbell, and we're going to be talking about, well, Michael, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. How you doing out there?
I'm doing just fine. Why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our listeners so they'll know who you are. We'll pick up the story from there.
Well, I was a writer for the I was an active duty journalist for the United States Navy from 1978 to 1987. I worked in print and broadcast. After that, I went to work for the Navy as a reporter, and this is how I got to I was introduced to the story of Amelia Earhart in 1988. I was assigned to do a story about the Earhart disappearance. Actually, at that time, it was the 51st anniversary. I just approached the story completely cold. I read several books about the Earhart disappearance. And from the moment I began reading, I realized that this is just an incredible story that has not yet been officially resolved. And one of the books that I read was a book called Eyewitness, the Amelia Earhart Incident. It was published in 1987. It was written by Thomas E. Devine, who was a GI on Saipan in 1944. Thomas Devine, in 1944, was a postal sergeant on Saipan in the Army's 244th Postal Unit. He came onto the island a couple weeks after the actual invasion began. In other words, he wasn't involved with the initial waves of the attacks on Saipan. He came in on July 6th. The attack on Saipan was June 15th, 1944, often called D-Day in the Pacific, because Saipan was such an important, achievement for our military. If we would not have taken Saipan, we probably wouldn't have won the Pacific. So anyway, Thomas Devine came on Saipan in early July 1944, and he soon learned that the Earhart airplane had been discovered there. He saw the airplane himself in person, and later on that he saw the plane destroyed. He came home, he wrote a book about this because it was never discussed in the media as he expected it would be.
This is the plane that Amelia Earhart had flown in. It was a two-engine seaplane. But anyway, a two-engine plane. And basically, it was on Saipan, but she wasn't supposed to go to Saipan. She was, what was she doing there? And it's a fascinating book because this gentleman describes seeing her, and there's so many descriptions of people on Saipan who saw her. So why has this story been so suppressed? Go right ahead, Michael.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of hard for me to hear you, Dr. Stan, so please, I don't know if our connection is that great.
No, you sound great. Maybe I don't, but you do. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. You know, I need to hear you a little better, though, if you're going to, whenever you interject something, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, all of this began in 1937 when Amelia Earhart attempted to become the first woman to circumnavigate the globe with her Electra. She had already become world famous for her solo flight across the Atlantic in 1932. Arguably, she was the most famous woman in the world at that point. In 1937, she attempted to go circumnavigate the globe closer to the equator than Wiley Post had done. I think in 1933, he had set the record. And she wanted to beat that record, and she wanted to cap her great career with that accomplishment. Now, on July 2nd, 1937, Amelia Earhart took off from Ley, New Guinea, on the most dangerous part of her flight. She was attempting to go from Ley, New Guinea to Howland Island, which was 2,556 miles across open Pacific Ocean to a small dot in the middle of the Pacific called Howland Island, which had been prepared. An airstrip had been prepared there. The plan was for her to land at Howland, refuel there, go to Hawaii, which was about 1,900 miles from Howland, and then from Hawaii to fly to Oakland, California, to complete her flight, her world flight.
Right, but of course there were a lot of questions that were raised as to why she would have picked Howland as the site to land. There were a lot of questions whether she was really trying to get there. Was there something else behind the flight? So you pick up the story, because that is the question you raise. Have we been told the whole story, and why has so much of the story been suppressed so effectively through the years? Go right ahead.
Okay, Dr. Stan. Well, we certainly haven't been told the truth about what happened to Amelia Earhart. I mean, that's the whole point of my book, and I'm not the first one to discover the truth or to reveal the truth to the American people. However, I don't want to go rush ahead too quickly. She did not reach Howland Island. Amelia did not reach Howland Island. Her radio communications were really bad during her flight, that she never really established two-way communications with the Itasca, the Coast Guard cutter that was anchored off of Howland Island to talk her in. They had a direction finder on a radio direction finder on the Itasca that would have worked if they were on the same page, but Amelia was never on the air for more than 7 or 8 seconds at a time. Her behavior during the flight, her radio behavior, was bizarre, to say the least. And it raises many questions about if she really wanted to reach Howland Island or not. One of the Coast Guardsmen there on the boat, who was a third-class radio man named William Galton, told a researcher named Paul Rafford, who's still alive and with us. Paul Rafford was with Pan Am in the late 30s and early 40s, and he met Bill Galton, who was on the Itasca.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Tri-Property Management in Greeley asks everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child,
Care packages for military members are giving the gift of life by giving blood. You can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. Be a part of something great. This message from Tribe Property in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or visit tryplacestolive.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Mark Collins, we're talking about the story of Amelia Earhart. And there were so many strange things that here she's flying across the ocean towards this small little island, and yet with radio communication, she's never on more than 6 or 7 seconds, and so that basically they can't quite get her location exactly where she is. But there's something very strange about the flight. It's almost as if she wasn't trying to reach the spot where she was supposed to be. But go ahead, pick up the story, Michael.
Okay, Dr. Stan, please, from now on, please call me Mike Campbell. My name is Mike Campbell and not Michael Campbell, okay?
All right, fine. Go ahead.
And the name of the book is Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. Okay, this is what we're talking about. And these, everything that we're going to discuss and we have discussed is detailed in this book. I've been working on this story for 25 years now, beginning in 1988, as I told you earlier. Amelia Earhart did not arrive at Howland Island. Her last message was heard at 0844 Howland time. She was on, it was heard at strength 505, which means it was very loud. They thought that she was very close by, but she was not seen, and she was, and she just, went off the grid at that point. The Navy came, and did a huge search. They searched 262,000 square miles of ocean. They found not a trace, not an oil slick. Note, and the official story was that she went in the drink about 120 miles northwest of Howland Island. That has been the Navy story. That has been the official government story ever since then. It wasn't true then, and it's not true today. What happened, Dr. Stan, with Earhart is that she landed not at Howland Island. She landed at Milley Atoll in the Marshall Islands. At Milley Atoll, she was picked up by the Japanese. She was taken aboard the Koshu, the Japanese seaplane tender, the Koshu. She was taken from there to Jalawit, which was the Japanese headquarters in the Pacific Ocean and the Marshall Islands. From Jalawit, she was taken to Kwajalein, and from Kwajalein, she was flown to Saipan. This is where the modern search for Amelia Earhart really begins, not with the other, anything else that your listeners might be hearing in the media nowadays. In 1960, there was a book written called Daughter of the Sky by Paul Briand Jr., who was an English teacher at the Air Force Academy. At the end of his book, he talked about the account that was related to him by a guy named Dr. Casimir Schaft, who was a dentist on Saipan. His assistant, Josephine Blanco Akiyama, told Dr. Schaft about seeing the white woman land on Saipan in Tanapag Harbor in 1937 with the tall white man. She identified Amelia's picture. It was Amelia Earhart that Josephine saw in 1937. this story got out to the local newspaper in San Mateo, California. From that, Fred Gerner, who was a well-known CBS radio newsman at the time in 1960, went to Saipan after interviewing Josephine, and he interviewed hundreds of natives on Saipan, and he found what he called his original 13. His best 13 witnesses that corroborated her story, identified Amelia's picture, and from there we have the modern search for Amelia Earhart. Your listeners, of course, don't know about this unless they remember Fred Gerner's book in 1966. This book by Gerner, called The Search for Amelia Earhart, established without question that she was on Saipan in 1937. The book was immediately trashed by Time magazine as being, it barely holds together, was what they said. And the writer of the scathing review of Gerner's book didn't even identify himself or herself at the time. It was just Time magazine trashing the book. Well, ever since then, Saipan and Amelia Earhart have been verboten in the mainstream media. We never hear the two words being used in the same sentence again. However, there's been plenty of work done since 1966 that establishes without any doubt whatsoever that she was in the Marshall Islands and on Saipan. Gerner's book was the only bestseller ever done, because after that, the word came out that this information was to be suppressed from now on in. As I said, I talked about Devine's book when we opened. Thomas Devine's book, Eyewitness the Amelia Earhart Incident. Well, at the close of his book, Devine asked for GIs who were on Saipan in 1944 to come forward and contact him with their information to support his own eyewitness experience, seeing the Electra and knowing about her presence on Saipan. 26 GIs contacted him, even though his book was suppressed, and their accounts to Devine make up the first book I wrote. It's called With Our Own Eyes, Eyewitnesses to the Final Days of Amelia Earhart. That was the book that presented the GI accounts that established the Electra on Saipan in 1944.
And the question is then, why is there a cover-up? Why suddenly has every effort been made to conceal the truth about what really happened to Amelia Earhart? So go ahead.
Okay, well, this question answers itself. Once again, the name of the book is Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. We spend an entire chapter in the book. The chapter is The Care and Nurture of a Sacred Cow. And this is all about why the Earhart truth is a sacred cow in the mainstream media and why it always has been. This is all about the fact that we knew that they had her in 1944. Franklin D. Roosevelt knew the Japanese had captured her and that they held her on Saipan in 1937. We had a very isolationist foreign policy at that time. We had a very weak military. However, we had broken the Japanese codes. That was one of the reasons, I think, that militated against him coming out and facing the Japanese with his knowledge. He would have given up the fact that we had broken their codes. We knew war with them was coming. So this is what happened. He didn't do a thing. He left Amelia Earhart to the tender mercies of the Japanese, and she died on Saipan sometime after 1937, she arrived on the island. We're not exactly sure. We have witnesses all along the way. We have witnesses, many witnesses in the Marshall Islands. We spent the whole chapter called The Marshall Islands Witnesses. Then we go to the Saipan witnesses. Josephine Black Akiyama, Gerner's first witness, of course, is one of only of many that identified and knew of Amelia Earhart on Saipan. It's more important, I think, for the reader and the listener to know the facts that establish her presence on Saipan rather than worry about why this was covered up. Those questions answer themselves as they proceed through the narrative in the book. Everything is laid out, Dr. Stan, logically and in order. We don't want to jump into the cover-up, you know, initially, because it confuses people. They get, they don't need to, you know, to worry about too much. There's a thousand threads to this story, and if they're approached logically, then the story just reveals itself to the reader. The name of the book, Dr. Stan, is Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. And thank you for your interest in it.
Well, I enjoyed the book. It's a tremendous book. How can people get copies of the book?
Well, please go to Amazon.com. The book is available on Amazon.com. Just go to and search my name, Mike Campbell, or Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last on Amazon.com. And read the reviews. I mean, if you question, the reviews are unanimously positive on the book. Everybody that reads the book that doesn't have an agenda, we can, you know, as we discuss this further, we find that there are some people that have agendas against the truth, and they don't want this to come out. So, of course, I've been attacked by certain individuals. But other than that, I mean, this book speaks for itself. There really is no competing theory. Despite what people hear and read in the media, there is no competing theory about what happened to Amelia Earhart. It's purely smoke and mirrors and disinformation is all we have ever gotten about her. As I said, as we talked about the Gerner book in 1966, well, Fred Gerner at that time did make some incredible inroads. He almost broke through in Washington, D.C. to the secret files about Earhart, and he almost got those files, access to those files, and so that he could reveal them to the American people. He talked about that, but he didn't quite get the smoking gun that he needed to write his second book. But there's much that he did discover after 1966 and during his investigations in Washington that revealed this. It's just a fascinating story, and there's so much in the book that people that we can't get to, you know, in just this brief time. But there's just so, once the objective observer, so to speak, reads the book, the case is closed. There's just absolutely no question whatsoever.
But the question is, you know, why certainly, you know, and as you analyze this, do you think that she was really trying to reach this island? Or do you think that she was on another mission? In fact, you sort of infer that maybe she was somehow working for the government in this plan.
That's a good question. And the biggest question and the so-called Earhart mystery is not a mystery whatsoever. We know what happened. We know that she was taken to Saipan, and we know that she died there. But the mystery, the real mystery, Dr. Stan, is why did she go to Milly Atoll? There is substantial evidence, the anecdotal evidence, things that she told people. She told, for example, she told Margot DeCary, according to her secretary. Margot DeCary was her longtime secretary. Margot DeCary told Fred Gerner that Amelia was on a mission. She said that she had met with Oscar Westover, who was chief of the Army Air Corps, and Bernard Baruch in between her first aborted flight from Luke Field in Hawaii, and then her takeoff in June 2nd, 1937 from Burbank or from Oakland, I believe. Between that time, when the Electra was being repaired, she met with these high-ranking officials, and these were secret meetings. And DeCary told Gerner that she was certain that she had been asked to do something on her flight, some sort of a mission. Her mother also told the Los Angeles Times that she was convinced that Amelia was on some sort of a mission for the government. Her behavior during her flight was very suspicious. As I said earlier, her radio behavior was just, there was no explanation for not staying on the air so that the Itasca could help her find Howland Island. She told Bill Galton told Paul Raffert, the researcher, that woman never intended to land on Howland Island. You know, that's just a few of the examples that we have that indicate that she was not trying to reach Howland Island.
Well, did this have something to do with the fact that perhaps they wanted an excuse for the United States Navy to be able to search that whole part of the Pacific? Was that probably what this was about?
This is one of the major, probably the primary thinking, idea why she would be asked to land at Mille Atoll. Mille Atoll was Japanese-controlled territory in 1937. They had owned those islands since 1920 when the League of Nations mandate gave it to the Japanese. Now, the Japanese were very protective about their mandate, and no Westerners were allowed into that territory without express permission of the Japanese. Now, the theory is that Amelia was asked to go there to Mille Atoll so that our Navy would have an excuse to go in there looking for her and to see what the Japanese were doing in the Marshall Islands at that time, military-wise, in their buildup. This is the theory.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Try Property Management and Greeley asks everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. Be a part of something great. This message from Try Property in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or visit tryplacestolive.com. If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Mike Campbell, and we're talking about his book on Amelia Earhart. And it's a fascinating story because, of course, there's been such an organized effort through the years to conceal the truth. Did anybody ever, you mentioned this one man almost got the government files. Now, this was, 1937. Why are those files still secret? Are they still secret today?
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. We're talking about Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last is the name of the book. The secret government files are still there. They're there along with, for example, the briefcase that was discovered on Saipan by Robert E. Wallach, a Marine private who on Garapan found her briefcase in a blown safe. They blew up a safe, a Japanese safe in an administration building on Saipan. They found Amelia Earhart's maps, her visa, her passports, her papers, everything related to her around-the-world flight was found on Saipan in 1944 during the invasion. That's another huge piece of evidence that has gone down the black hole into the national security apparatus, where they keep such evidence, where people are not, you know, where Americans are not supposed to go. And this information is being held. And I don't know. I can't see. There's no indication that that this evidence is ever going to be let go publicly in my lifetime. But I'm doing whatever I can. The reason I am so devoted to this story, one of the major reasons is when I met Thomas E. Devine, the author of this book, Eyewitness, the Amelia Earhart Incident, that was published in 1987. This, in my opinion, the second most important book ever published on the Earhart case, next to Fred Gerner's. Now, this my book was published just last June, Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. This book has more information, every significant finding, everything that lays the case out is in this book for the first time. We bring everything together. Okay, this is why my book is so important. There's no point in false modesty here. It's not nearly as important as the original book that Fred Gerner wrote that brought this attention to the American people, talking about the secret files. He was with a newspaper man a California newspaper man named Ross Game, went with Gerner to Washington to do the best they could to get to the truth about this. Ross Game told me in an interview that JFK, President Kennedy, wanted to help Gerner, but that Kennedy was limited by a secret executive order issued by Roosevelt that the truth in the Earhart case could not be revealed. So Kennedy let him see some files, according to Game, but they couldn't copy the files in any way, shape, or form. You know, this is just an incredible stuff. And then I talked to an ONI agent, an Office of Naval Intelligence guy whose name was Robert Peliquin, who since passed away. He worked in Navy intelligence in the 80s. His account is also in my book. He says he saw the Earhart files as well, the secret files. They reveal they reveal the Saipan truth. There really wasn't that much paperwork involved in those days. The word went out from FDR. We even have a witness that says that they were in the Oval Office and heard President Roosevelt tell his aides that tell Harry Truman, who was in the office at the time. We're not sure if that's accurate or not, but we have a witness that actually said that he heard Roosevelt issue the executive order to destroy Amelia Earhart's airplane on Saipan. This is one of a thousand little pieces of evidence that we present in Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. Well, I'm running out of breath.
How did the plane get to Saipan? Did she fly it to Saipan, or was it flown some other place and transported there?
Well, as I said, she landed at Milne Atoll, Dr. Stan. She landed wheels up in the lagoon so as not to destroy the airplane. The lagoon was, there's a lot of coral also in the lagoon at Milne Atoll. Landed right off Barry Island. We have witnesses to that. And from there, the plane was winched aboard the Koshu, the back of the Koshu, the Japanese sea tender. And the Koshu took the Earhart airplane to Saipan. And that's apparently the wing of the Elektra was damaged during that landing on Saipan, but apparently the Japanese repaired it because the Elektra was seen in flight by Thomas Devine and others on Saipan in 1944. So the plane was not flown directly to Saipan. No, it was flown to Mili Atoll.
And that there were just so many people who actually saw Amelia Earhart there. I think the fascinating thing is that this story has been covered up, and we're talking, what, almost 80 years now?
76 years now, yes. I don't like to use the word cover up, but it really is applicable. But now, the thing is that anyone that's interested in finding the truth, it's been there. It was in Fred Gerner's book in 1966. From 1966 to 1985, approximately. Well, there's another book written in 1970 called Amelia Earhart Lives that also presented a lot of new native witnesses on Guam and Saipan who knew about Amelia Earhart. Then in 1985, Vincent V. Loomis's book, Amelia Earhart, The Final Story. Vincent V. Loomis did work in the Marshall Islands, and he established that she was in the Marshall Islands mainly through a witness named Billamon Amaron and others. Billamon Amaron had actually treated Fred Gerner's wounds aboard the Koshu. He was called out. He was a hospital corpsman, a Japanese hospital corpsman on Jalawit in 1937. He was called out to treat Fred Gerner's wounds. This was done in 1985. There was a review done by Jeffrey Hart in 1985. He worked for William Buckley's magazine. I forgot the name of it.
Right, National Review.
Yes. And in National Review, Jeffrey Hart said the mystery is solved based on what Vincent V. Loomis had found. Loomis went to Saipan as well and interviewed a few new eyewitnesses on Saipan. And Jeffrey Hart said the mystery is solved. This is it. This was in 1985. Well, the government media complex did not get the word that the mystery was solved because Jeffrey Hart's review was completely ignored, and it stood only by itself. And it just stayed there, and it was ignored. And then in 1987, we have the Divine Book, Eyewitness, the Amelia Earhart Incident. And then in 2002, we have my first one with Mr. Divine, which was With Our Own Eyes. All during this time, we're doing more and more research. We're talking to more and more witnesses. We're finding more and more documents. And now in 2012, we have Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, that brings everything together and leaves, you know, nothing to the imagination as far as what happened to Amelia Earhart. This is an outrage, actually, the way that the mainstream media has completely ignored my book, suppressed the book, blacked it out. Only, a few people, good people like you, independent types, you know, people that aren't bought and sold in the marketplace, have stepped forward to help.
Hang on to that thought. We'll be back in just...
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care.
Guard your rights.
The Tanner Gun Show this weekend in Loveland at the Ranch. Over 500 dealer tables with twice as much merchandise as any other show. Unbelievable selection and prices on guns, knives, ammo, survival gear, and a huge assortment of outdoor gear and accessories. From antiques and collectibles to the latest technology, Tanner Gun Shows are buy, sell, trade, so bring your guns. The Tanner Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Ranch in Loveland, next to the Budweiser Event Center. Exit 259 off I-25. Doors open at 9. Concealed carry permit classes available at the show. Go to TannerGunShow.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here. Our guest, Mike Campbell, we're talking about his book on Amelia Earhart. And it is a fascinating, very well-written book. It carries you along, but there is a mystery. And here we are, 76 years later, the information is still being suppressed. And that doesn't make any sense, Mike. Why would they want to suppress it after all this time? Why not allow it to come out? And why is your book and other books on this matter being so effectively suppressed? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, there's really only one explanation that you know, and nobody on the side nobody that's doing the suppressing, and nobody over there is going to tell us exactly why they're doing it. So it's left to us to conjecture. But I think it's pretty obvious that this is all about politics. It's all about protecting the legacy of FDR. Now, FDR doesn't have such a great legacy with those of us that aren't devoted Democrats to begin with. I mean, I have a document that's about 50 pages long called FDR Scandal Page. I mean, he did a lot of really, really bad things in those days. However, I'm not a historical expert on FDR. I don't claim to do that. But the fact that he did not raise a finger to help Amelia Earhart in 1937, if that ever became public knowledge, if that was ever officially revealed, that would ruin, in those days, it would have ruined his chances at the next election in 1940. His political future would have been ashes had the American public known that he had not helped Amelia Earhart when she was captured by the Japanese. Now, through the years, the Democrats' motivation in keeping this quiet is obvious. They just don't want to taint his legacy. There's what little of it is left. They would have to go back and rewrite history. And so this is the way it's played out, and it continues to be played out this way. And the skeptics and the cynics say that's not so. This happened so long ago, and there's no reason why it can't be released. Well, there is. Obviously, there's a reason that it can't be released, because it's not being released. There is no competing theory. Anyone that sees, that reads the information that I have presented in my book, Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, anybody that sees the case that I have laid out will agree that it's clear that she was on Sidepan, and it's clear that the establishment, the government media establishment in this country, is still very much motivated to keep that information quiet. And we see it, for example, in the phenomenon of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, TIGAR, and their biannual treks over to Nicomoro, ostensibly in search of Amelia Earhart's airplane. They've been back 10 times. They're planning to go back an 11th time next summer. By the way, they need $3 million so that they can complete their search next summer. This is an ongoing disinformation campaign. Two summers ago, we saw Hillary Clinton pictured with the executive director of TIGAR in a national released photo. The government is not even pretending. They're not even pretending anymore that they're not involved with the Earhart disinformation campaign. They have the head of the state, the Secretary of State, actually, supporting this disinformation effort. It was unbelievable to see the picture. As if Hillary. Do you want me to expand on the thought that Hillary Clinton's support for the search for Amelia Earhart has any validity in fact?
Well, the whole story is so incredible because it has been so covered up for such a long period of time. And the information is there. It's just obvious that all of these books are there. And yet I've always been fairly well-read And I was amazed reading your book to find out all this information that I had never heard of, never discussed on television, and never discussed on most talk radio. And as a result, most people have no idea that certainly they knew Amelia Earhart had been taken captive and did nothing to actually rescue her. And they've concealed that information ever since that time. And to this very day, certainly 76 years later, why the files are still secret. Are those Navy files? Are they? Who has the files?
Well, we think the Navy does, yes. The last indication I had was that the Navy was holding the files intelligence officer that I interviewed, he did. The files that he saw were Navy files, yes. I think that, it's important to, three flag officers, Dr. Stan, three United States military flag officers. I think it's important that your listeners understand. They don't know me from Adam, and they don't know anything about my work with Amelia Earhart. But three flag officers told Fred Gerner the truth about what happened to Amelia Earhart, and their accounts to Gerner are brief, but they are all presented in Amelia Earhart, the truth at last. I think before we leave, it would be instructive for your listeners to understand, because when we say flag officer, we mean either an admiral or a general in the United States military, okay? Now, in March 1965, a week before his meeting with General Wallace Greene at Marine Corps headquarters in Arlington, Chester Nimitz, okay, he was Commander-in-Chief Pacific Fleet during World War II. Chester Nimitz had developed a relationship with Fred Gerner. He told Gerner, "Now that you're going to Washington, Fred, I want to tell you Earhart and her navigator did go down to the Marshals and were picked up by the Japanese." Gerner claimed that Nimitz told him this in a phone conversation. Okay, we don't have it. No, we don't have it on tape. But this is what Gerner said. Now, in November 1966, just a few months after the release of his book, The Search for Amelia Earhart, retired General Graves B. Erskine was a Marine Brigadier General on Saipan during the Saipan invasion in 1944. He was second in command of overall forces on Saipan. He told two of Gerner's close associates while waiting to go on the air with Gerner in San Francisco on his radio program. He didn't say this on the air, but he told two of his associates, "It was established that Earhart was on Saipan. You'll have to dig out the rest for yourselves." This is what Graves B. Erskine told two of Gerner's associates. Now we have 1971, Dr. Stan, August 1971, General Alexander Vandegrift.
We're out of time, Mike. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us. And I recommend the book. Great. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Stan.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Mike Campbell. It's a fascinating book. But as with so many stories, you're just not getting the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, one thing I want to bring out is the fact I fear we're moving rapidly towards a financial cataclysmic event in the United States. We do have a couple of excellent books by Thomas Wood. He's an economist, works for a conservative think tank in Washington, D.C. He's an honest man. We carry his book, Meltdown, that's Meltdown, and another one called Roll Over. And these two books going into the background of the coming financial catastrophe that lies ahead. And we're talking certainly probably within 6 months to a year. I don't know when it's going to happen. Nobody does, but I will tell you there are an awful lot of intelligent people like Salenti, who writes a financial newsletter, John Williams, shadowstats.com, think this is going to be taking place within the next 6 months. We're just going to have to wait and see. But be prepared, and let me suggest you make your preparations, and it'll help you if you read Thomas Wood's Meltdown and Thomas Wood's book on Rollover. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And of course, if you haven't read, this is Ed Griffin's book on the creature from Jekyll Island. It's vitally important that you get it. That's the creature from Jekyll Island. Basically, Radio Liberty has a great deal of information on financial affairs. And you can go to our website, radioliberty.com, and look at the DVDs and tape sets and books that we offer. You need certainly to know what's going on to prepare yourself for the very difficult period that lies ahead. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, there are a lot of people out there across America talking about what's going on, certainly behind the scenes, but very few of them correlate what's taking place politically and historically with what is taking place spiritually. And that is, I think, the one advantage you'll get from getting our material. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you really need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, because it takes you into the background of the powerful spiritual forces that are at work in America today, because I really believe there is a supernatural dimension. Certainly UFOs are very real. They're not imaginary. And we're going to be doing a program on that actually later today on the background of UFOs. But most people have no idea that they are real. There are literally over 1,000 UFOs being sighted every year. Now the sightings are becoming increasingly more frequent, but you're not going to get that through your regular channel. Well, certainly we hope many of you out there, if you have not gotten our 4-CD set on the secret government, or a 4-CD set on secret societies, that you want to get these items, or that you'll certainly want to hear my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, and on population control, the covert, or the secret agenda. Because there really is a massive